Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I can probably, after the draft, get into more specifics on things, but I just don't think it's fair to the player, to be honest with you, to really even respond to that. I think it's just better to keep it to the fact that we have a plan, we're working towards helping our team get better, we're willing to do whatever it takes to get better. And I get memos on my desk every morning from PR of things, and I feel, if I'm being honest, like, I feel bad for our fans. The stuff that's out there, there's so much misinformation, so much of it's nonsense. I mean, someone that has no idea what they're talking about reporting that we were going to buy Sammy out. We've never had that conversation once. Like, it's ridiculous. So I don't even think it's worth me really getting into it. And I guess I'd just leave it at that.
Sabres GM Kevin Adams.
You know, like, feels bad for the fans. Maybe that one more than others. Don't fans like the rumors?
Yes. Fans really enjoy rumors about their team potentially getting better.
Right. It gives them some, maybe, and he's saying it's false hope, but giving them some false hope that the team's actually going to do something.
Right. The I guess it depends on the rumor.
It does depend on the rumor.
The Tuck rumor you wouldn't like. The Paterka rumor.
That's where I think he's not really talking about the Samuelson rumor.
Yeah.
He's using it in place of the Paterka rumor because he doesn't want to talk about Paterka. Because no fan would feel bad, unless he just has no concept of what fans think of Matias Samuelson, which might be true. No fan is going to lose sleep over, oh, they're going to buy out Samuelson. Nobody's doing that. They might about Paterka, which is almost where I wonder if that is, he's just putting in place Samuelson to a comment that is meant for Paterka. Because that could be true, right? You could feel bad for fans that a lot of people really like J.J. Paterka. He could, a fan favorite, one of a few, but a fan favorite, a really good player. And feeling bad for another good player wants out, are we kidding? I could get behind that. Not Samuelson. The dude that everybody is still mad at, or a lot of people are still mad at because he decided to do nothing when his best player was laying on the ice without his head, without his helmet. Anyways.
No, you're not wrong. I don't know what Adams could have said following. Honestly, I feel bad for our fans. What could you have put in there?
I don't think from that person,
right,
that sentence can ever come out of his
mouth. Which is not the first time.
It's
a consistent thing where he says the thing, like the only thing he can't say. You can't say the palm trees thing.
Right.
You can't blame the taxes. You can do it internally, but externally, you know, you kind of can't do that. To cross the two GMs against one another, here's one point I'd like to make. Sal, I thought, had a really good point when talking about when Brandon Bean and I got in that dust-up about receivers, which my question was, I don't think you value receivers on par with your peers. And he took exception to that. I think that is objectively true in terms of draft. But what Sal's takeaway was, one of the things he said to me was, he said, well, he's got to be careful how he answers that, because if he says, if Brandon Bean flat out came out and said, like, yeah, I don't think receivers are that important, the receivers on the team would say, what?
Mm-hmm.
And his point was to me, Sal, I don't know if he said this on the air or off the air, just like, yeah, you know, you're asking about a position group. Imagine a GM says something about his players that makes them look bad. You wouldn't want to do that. It's the opposite of what you want to do. And when Adam said the thing about palm trees and taxes, he made his players look bad.
Mm-hmm.
No one wants to be here. I'm here.
Right.
Well, what? You're not supposed to say it.
You're not supposed to say
it. You might think it internally. So like, there's a difference between the two GMs. One is, you know, he's got a resume to stand on, and he also might have a better handle of what you should and shouldn't say and how and when to choose your spots to be blustery and when to be, you know, more of a muted version of your message. So, anyway, it's interesting.
Right, the Bills, I mean, they do that on all levels. Think of the years. I would want to throw out the last two seasons for this because they've actually done it. But how many times over the first 4 years, 3 years of Josh Allen being really, really good, where all they did was throw the ball like crazy, and on a weekly basis, the coach would get asked about the run game and would talk about how important the run game is and wanting to be better at it. How every week he said that.
Yeah.
And the whole time
they just threw it.
It wasn't really that important to them. But what did he say? Because what do you sound like if you come out and you tell everybody, I don't think the run game matters at all? Then your running backs and maybe your linemen too, or your run game coordinator or whoever on the coaching staff is like, what am I doing here? You just told me my job is meaningless?
Right. That's where
like, leave that to us to try to read between the tea leaves what your actions actually are.
Yeah.
Rather than you say it.
That's where I think him saying like Lucan and Levi, all the confidence in the world in those guys, that he's allowed to say, that he's just not allowed to practice. He can say that. Sometimes you can say things, but you can't actually use that as your plan. Oh, I have a lot of belief in those guys. That's great. Glad they heard that. That can't be your plan. You can't plan to just believe in something.
Well, that's where my hope is. My fingers are crossed that he's doing the thing there of, I can't say I don't have belief in my goaltenders because I might end up in a spot where they're my two goaltenders.
Well, for sure.
Because I can't end up at a better idea. And then I need them to believe in themselves, and I don't need them to think the GM thinks they're terrible or whatever. I'm hoping that's what that comment is, and that there is going to be an effort by them in the next... I mean, most of the action of the offseason is going to be in the next 10 days, right? 10 to 14 days. I'm really going to want them to go after a goaltender and end up somewhere more than just... Hey, we re-signed James Reimer to a one-year deal, which actually might ultimately end up where they are, right? That's possible.
Yeah, might be. 803-0550. Maybe the most interesting that's happened today is Joe trying to find how far you can drive it from Buffalo.
Yes.
How far you can actually physically drive. And you got on this because of Mogilny going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And finding out that Mogilny's hometown to Moscow is a 107-hour drive.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You don't even notice. You don't even notice the last seven of that. You know, just kind of the last seven flies.
So you think like after you get past 100, you're just like, oh, we're almost there.
Yeah.
Even though it's like still a 7-hour drive.
Can you imagine just how abandoned? The Earth is a big place.
Oh, my goodness.
A 100-hour drive across Russia.
It's like half. It feels like it would be half the Earth. Yeah, Mogilny's hometown, for those that don't know, like, he's from Russia. If you look up the map of it, he is, like, the little red dot. The city he is from is on the border with China. Like, the east coast of China. Like, Manchuria. Like, he could take a 2-hour drive to the coast and then take a quick ferry across to Japan. So, yeah, it's 107 hours to drive from Moscow. And just playing around on Google Maps, I was trying to find, okay, what would that be for Buffalo? Put that into perspective. Like, I was going to, like, what, just to put that into perspective for people, how far a drive is that? And I quickly learned that there's nowhere you can drive 107 hours from Buffalo. Like, you can't do it. Because I guess there's no road connecting Central America and South America.
Yeah, I learned that today.
You can't drive from Panama to Brazil.
I did learn about that, although I feel like the name I had heard before. It's called the Darien Gap. That name sounds familiar. I guess I didn't quite know what it is. It is a 60-mile stretch of jungle, and you don't have a road.
Right. So that's your cutoff. And Buffalo to Panama City, Panama, is only 84 hours. So you gotta need another 23 hours of driving that's impossible because there's a jungle in the way. So it probably would get you down into, like, Brazil.
Where's the farthest you've ever driven? What's your longest ever road trip?
Charlotte this year. That's okay. 10 hours.
That's 10?
Not a crazy amount.
Mine's probably, let me type it in.
Have you done, like, a cross-country?
I've not done cross-country. No. I've done maybe like 12 hours.
Okay.
I think I split that up. What's the longest single trip drive without spending the night? I might be
without spending the. Have you done one with spending the night?
I mean without stopping, spending the night, and continuing on.
Okay,
like a 107-hour drive. You cannot do that without stopping.
No, you would probably have to stop 9 times. Yeah, like how long would that take? 2 weeks.
Well, I did Albuquerque, like Buffalo to Albuquerque, 4 times playing hockey down there. So, and that was a 3-day split.
Yeah.
And how much driving is that?
So it was 30-something hours total.
So you would drive like 8 to 12 a day?
Yeah, I think the way down there, I went Buffalo to St. Louis, St. Uh-huh. Louis to Oklahoma City, Oklahoma City to Albuquerque.
Gotcha.
I think was my route on the way down. And then on the way back, it was maybe Albuquerque to Denver.
Okay.
Denver to maybe St. Louis again or somewhere, Nebraska.
Looks like St. Louis is usually in the middle here. I'm looking it up.
But I did one of those times on my way back after the season. I was so ready to be home.
You really
I pushed it? I went, I think, 17 hours straight.
In one day.
Just walloped it through. I was supposed to stop in Chicago. I got to Chicago at like, I don't know.
Keep going.
10 p.m. I was like,
just gonna keep going.
I've got the quickest path of you left right now to Albuquerque being 26 hours,
yeah,
which is a fourth of this McGillney drive.
Yeah.
So it took you, it would take you, what, 3 days?
That was a 3-day trip. So
this trip is taking you 2 weeks.
Right.
Yeah.
2 weeks. Russia's a big place.
Yes.
Let alone the Earth.
One of the kids I played with in New Mexico is actually a Russian kid, and he was from way out on that east side, and he would tell us about
the East Coast.
It's just not. It's a completely different country.
So like, really, it's also. It's also. I mean, he got. What time did he get woken up again for his Hall of Fame?
3 a.m.
3 a.m. Time zones. It's probably. He's probably like 3 time zones different from.
Yeah.
Somebody that like when Fedorov got the call or something. So. Yeah, her huge place.
McGillney to the Hall of Fame. Good for him.
I remember him as a Leaf.
It's a big class. I remember him as...
I remember he's on bad Leaf teams in my memory.
Yeah, I remember.
Or maybe, were they bad or were they just... They were the Leafs. They were like kind of just there. Like Sabres would dog walk them. Although he's not on that team anymore, are they? When the Sabres come back from 3 goals down in 07... One of the greatest regular season games I remember as a Sabre fan. You see, like Sundin is on that team still, but I don't know if McGillney still is.
McGillney retired in 05-06.
Don't forget the Leafs used to be in the Western Conference.
Sure, right.
So like when you say who were they?
But not for me.
Well, until 1998.
Right.
They're in the Western Conference. They moved in 1998.
And then 99, it's the conference finals.
Yeah. So like who were they back then?
Yeah.
For a long time, they might not have been as...
But like those early 2000s teams, what I remember is like they were...
Matt Sundin teams?
Sundin, and it would have been McGillney and Cabrera. Cabrera's on that team. But not nearly as good as the Sabres were like when the Sabres got good, obviously.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 if you'd like to join us here on the show. It's it's Wednesday. It rained. Got a little bit of rain. I think
it's over.
The next couple days going to be pop-up showers. No washouts in the forecast that I see or that I've heard. Driving in this morning listening, it was a lot of, oh, yeah, you know, here and there. It'll pass, you know. Do you say popcorn showers? Are they a little bit bigger than popcorn showers? Just passing occasional pop-up storms, maybe a thunderstorm here or there.
Mm-hmm.
We are, by the way, for the dads out there that like to stand on in the driveway or in the window and say this, we are very much entering, we needed this rain season. We are right there. It'll be like 5 days of dead heat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we needed this rain.
Needed to just take the humidity out of the air.
Yeah.
at some point. Tonight's the NBA draft, by the way. 8 p.m. Any interest?
Only because the NBA will trade 3 of its 10 best players tonight.
Yes, that is...
I saw Jaylen Brown might get traded from the Celtics.
He might. There are rumors about the Celtics. The Celtics are...
The Celtics might just tear it all down because Jason Tatum's hurt. And like, you know what we could do?
How about that?
We could take a year and fix some stuff and come back when he comes back.
They won the championship and had two stars in their mid-20s surrounded by a bunch of really good veterans. And it really was one injury, and they blew the whole thing to smithereens. It's all
well,
gone.
They haven't totally yet.
Well, they're on their way to.
If they do trade Brown, yes.
Well, right. If they trade Brown, then that is blowing it up because they've traded two of their starters already, and they're listening to offers, is the report from Shams at ESPN about it. But doesn't that take a lot of NBA is different, right? Hockey, you wouldn't see that happen. Because that takes a lot of stones to say, we just won the championship. Like, Tatum will be back at some point, and we're just like, no, we're not even going to try to win it next year. If they trade Brown, well, especially, but they are actively making their team worse right now.
Right, like, how could they win it?
Well, the reason they could win it is because that Eastern Conference, the NBA, is horrible.
But, without Tatum, like, no, I don't know.
No, I know, like, but they're saying, like, even, you know... Sure, they'd have to get lucky probably in a series or two. Like, they would know going in, we're not the best team.
Yeah.
And for them, they're using that as opportunities. Okay, we're not the best team anymore. Let's tear it down, and we'll build it back up for when Tatum's healthy again.
I have a quick football note to get to. I meant to get to this, and sometimes I just, like, move on to a different tab and forget about it. So,
is it Aaron Rodgers related?
He's not. Yeah, he's ninth on this list.
Oh, it's a list.
It's a list.
Okay.
Steven Patton has put together a list of NFL quarterbacks, NFL analytics and graphics, and you know, one of these guys that like digs into the data and the tape and finds some stuff. And one thing I think about analytics, if I may use that term, maybe you're someone that hears that word and you get mad about it. Give me 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
I might need more. Might be like a minute. What he looked into was sack avoidance. And we know that sack avoidance is good.
Mm-hmm.
But what he went into was what happens after this quarterback avoids a sack.
Okay.
Because you could avoid a sack, throw the ball away. And if you do that every time, all right, that's you're avoiding sacks. You're avoiding negative plays, right? Isn't that, hey, throw it in the dirt, survive another play. Or you're Josh Allen. You avoid a sack, you run for 13 yards. Those are both avoided sacks. Those are two very different outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
So he picked up the top 10 quarterbacks in sacks avoided this year and then charted what they did with those avoided sacks. Mm-hmm. And it paints an incredible picture about how it's not just avoiding the sack. That's the first step. The second step is what you do after avoiding the sack. Mm-hmm. Because I'd like you to try to tell me who the number one quarterback in the NFL last year was in avoided sacks.
And just like the most that they
just
did at all?
Just avoiding them.
Was it Allen?
No. Allen was fourth.
Jackson?
Second.
Mahomes had a bad year at this. Was it like Mayfield?
Third. Mayfield's third in avoided sacks.
Like how many he did.
But what does Mayfield do after avoiding a sack? He does some good stuff. Not as good as Allen. Not as good as Lamar.
Okay.
In fact, the number of touchdowns in the league thrown after avoiding a sack is in the single digits. League-wide.
Yeah.
When you avoid a sack, it's about survival for so many of these guys and just, throw it away. Don't throw an interception. Let me get to a new set of downs. Mm-hmm. Or let me get to a new down. Let me get to second down, third down, punt. Allen and Jackson each have multiple touchdowns avoiding a sack. No one else does.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, sorry, one other guy does. One other player.
Is this the guy that's number
this
one?
This is the guy that is number one. He avoided, by his count, by Stephen Patton, Patton Analytics, Lamar and Baker avoided 28 sacks. And this guy avoided 50.
Is it Kyler Murray?
It is not Kyler Murray.
Because when I think of him, I think of him avoiding.
The top 10 goes number one, 50.
Yeah.
Number two, 28, 3, 28, 27, 26, 25, 21, 19, 16. Number one player in the NFL, 50 avoided sacks.
Jaden Daniels?
No.
Jordan Love?
No.
Jalen Hurts?
No.
Purdy?
No.
Is it Herbert?
No.
It's not Mahomes, right?
It's not Mahomes.
Okay. Is it Bo Nix?
It's not Bo Nix.
Running out of quarterbacks here.
You're missing a lot
sense.
Of the top 10, too.
Oh, Burrow?
Burrow's eighth. Rodgers ninth. Allen fourth. Mayfield third. Jackson second.
Drake May?
No.
Geno,
I mean.
Who is it? Who am I? Goff?
Nope. I'll give you one.
How surprising. Like, is this somebody that would shock people?
Yeah, you haven't gotten this? It because you're going to be shocked. I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
Think of a quarterback that was in chaos all year.
Oh, I know who it is. Stroud.
No, he was sixth.
Oh, well, he was in chaos all
but
year.
You're
so
getting
sense.
But you're getting closer.
Chaos all year.
The reality
you already told me Rodgers was ninth.
Stroud isn't as good as avoiding sacks as this guy.
Who was in chaos all year?
Who is?
Caleb Williams?
Yes. Caleb Williams avoided 50 sacks.
Uh-huh.
The next closest was 28. What did Caleb Williams do with those avoided sacks? Not nearly as much. He's in an offense where he survives chaos and then gets a boatload of incompletions.
Also, can you get an avoided sack and then be sacked anyway?
Yes.
So, like, he could avoid one sack
that happened
by time and then hold on to it too long and get sacked, and that counts as a...
That happened to him twice.
Okay.
So
not only twice, though.
For Williams, on 50 avoided sacks, you have 11 completions and about 20 incompletions.
Okay.
10 scrambles, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks. But to me, like, again, this gets to a point about analytics. What did Stephen Patton really do here? He took every time a quarterback got out of a sack or avoided a sack and said, what did these players do with it? And here's Allen and Jackson, who are great. Completions, a lot of scrambles, and touchdowns. Caleb Williams, a ton of incompletions. The case to me for Caleb Williams being great with Ben Johnson is this. Sack avoidance is incredibly important. It's so valuable. And what Williams might have now is the ability to avoid it and non-chaos offense with Ben Johnson, some structure, some better ideas, what to do. Like, there's a reason he went number one, and there's a reason the comps for him were Mahomes, because he's a freelancer.
Is he, though, let me ask this, though. Is he not just avoiding sacks because he holds onto the ball so long that he is almost in, he's juicing up his own numbers because he refuses to throw the football?
Very possibly. But the point is, okay, Ben Johnson gets in there and gets things cleaned up, and he gets the ball out, and now he's
going to want him to throw it quicker.
Right. But the ability is still there to have avoided twice as many sacks almost as anybody else. And I just found this little visual that Stephen Patton put together to be so interesting. Like, yeah, this is an example of analytics. Oh, Josh is great at sacks, avoiding sacks. Yeah, so is Baker. Well, what's the difference in what they do when they avoid the sacks?
And it's a massive.
And it's very different. Will Levis, 10th in the league in avoiding sacks. What did he do when he avoided the sacks? Threw picks. You know, like, you can avoid a sack and then make a bigger mistake. So I found it to be just really interesting. And to see that Caleb Williams came in with 50 was amazing. So there you go. 803-0550. Brendan has chimed in. The longest road route in North America, Prudhoe Bay, Alaska, to Panama City. It looks like 130 hours.
Barely higher.
I mean, it's 23 hours higher.
Well, okay, I guess. In context, yeah. No, it is. 130 hours. That would take 2 weeks. I think that would take 2 weeks. This is like, there was a thing like this with Dylan Cousins that I remember, that Cousins was from Whitehorse, and maybe it was early in his career, maybe it wasn't, when the Sabres went to Vancouver, and he had a bunch of family there, and I don't think it was the Sabre broadcast, maybe it was a different broadcast, said, like, oh, this is homecoming for Dylan Cousins, and Whitehorse to Vancouver is like a 24-hour drive. It's just not even close.
It is really, once you get up in the Canadian Northwest, how far everything is from everything else, you might think, oh, Alaska and Seattle, those are pretty close, right?
Yeah.
No.
No, like,
they're
right,
not
exactly.
Close.
Like, Whitehorse to Vancouver is a 27-hour drive. Vancouver to the Mexican border is 25 hours. So, not really that close, yeah. I guess, for him.
8:03:05:50 today. Darren Dreger tweets that the NHL board meets today. Ongoing speculation around Atlanta. Expect a general report on who's approached the NHL and from where. Atlanta's not the only one. And Kevin Weeks and David Pagnotta. Sorry, David Pagnotta. Houston. The NHL might be talking expansion Atlanta and Houston. Okay.
Not surprising that those would be the two cities.
Insert snarky playoff comment here if you want it. I'm not. I didn't do it. That's how you know I'm mature now. I'm old.
I'm an adult. Will they just be the Thrashers again?
They should.
The Jets own it, but
it was a good name.
I'm sure they can get it back.
Listen, it was a good name.
Couldn't you see them wanting something brand new though?
I could.
New branding. And then Houston. What's a good Houston hockey team name?
Let's ask the chat.
Okay.
All right, chat. Name the Houston hockey team.
Yeah. We're going to go with Thrashers for Atlanta. So we need.
We can get a new one, too.
For Atlanta?
We can. I just think. I always thought the Thrashers name was actually kind of good. Named after a bird.
Mm-hmm.
Thrash. Come on, we have the Mammoth and the Kraken now.
Do you know that's one of those logos where I don't think I knew what it was until I was like 10 years old?
That it's a bird?
I thought it was just a tornado.
Yeah, the bird is actually a thresher.
Tornado with a stick in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the bird face is like kind of hidden.
Yeah.
Not really, but kind of.
We'll have to name it after a meme like the Kraken did if they really want to sell shirts. Great name. All right, we'll get a break in.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.